Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Bite-Sized Blessings. I don't do this often, but every once in a while, I ask my listeners to consider writing a review or leaving a rating wherever you listen to the podcast, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, or Podchaser. Those ratings and reviews help others find us. So now, let's get to episode 87 and my interview with Sherilyn Darcy, who's pretty much the most astounding human being I've ever interviewed. Not only does she have a weekly podcast of botanical history called Mostly About Plants, she also has 20 published plant-based books out there in the world. You really must look at her webpage to see everything that this formidable human being is engaged in. She has a weekly gardening page that's in the Central Coast newspapers in Australia. She has a radio show called At Home with the Gardening Gang on Coast FM 96.3. I just can't say enough about this amazing and abundant human being who's put out so much in the world and so clearly has such an affinity and a love with everything growing green around her. In this episode, we talk about a lot of different things, but Sherilyn's miracle is really a beautiful one. I don't want to take away the surprise, but it's really a powerful story about healing, the natural world, and how miracles and gifts come from the most unexpected places. So now, episode 87 and my conversation with Sherilyn Darcy.
But they at the time diagnosed me with, I had the flu, then it was pleurisy, very, very ill. And I was actually like lying on a floor all the time. And I just thought, I can't even, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And I was young and it was very cold. I remember that for sure. And one day my flatmates had all gone to work and I was like, I could hardly breathe. And I was thinking, I'm going to have to call an ambulance or something like that. I can't get through it at all. And I thought I was woken up, and I saw what I saw in front of me was a woman who was like covered in flowers. That's how I describe her. And I could just smell the flowers really, really strongly. I was just like, oh my goodness. And she just told me to get up, like just get up. Because I was literally lying on these floorboards with a rug, and I was like, just get up and go outside.
I'm going to assume that it was something intriguing that just happened recently. I mean, for years, I read science magazines. So for years, you know, there's been big discussions about photosynthesis and how, you know, they're measuring, the photosynthesis and how, and they've discovered inside this process that it happens way more quickly than it should, like technically, like they don't understand. The last I read was they're positing that there are some quantum processes that are happening that we can't observe. And then just in the last month, I read an article about consciousness and memory making in our brains. They're like, we don't know how this happens, but they recently did some experiments that kind of definitively prove that there are quantum things going on with memory formation. Uh-huh. And so I just thought, you know, you have plants over here, you have humans, mammals over here, but we're utilizing the same thing they're saying for humans that it creates memories, consciousness, but who's to say those plants aren't conscious? And that's what those quantum processes are doing.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. In ancient Egypt, there was a very big belief that if you wanted your plans to keep going through, going into the future. So the ancient Egyptians were, well, I'm not saying all of them, some of them were very aware of the space of time, how, you know, they built these pyramids that they, you know, they're very connected with the afterlife. What happens, you know, in the future? They would make big plans, you know, planning pyramids and sculptures and things that in their lifetime they wouldn't see finished at all. They believed that if they had a good idea or a plan, they would go and tell it to a plant. And there's actually pictures, you know, of them. And we've always sort of gone, well, you know, and then, you know, scientists have discovered this. And when I found that out, I was like, because plants have this life cycle and what you're saying, this memory. So at first, when you know, we looked at this and went, wow, that's what they believe. We found out from reading things, they believe you actually physically went and whispered to a plant, that plant would die, the seeds would go on, but that somewhere in the consciousness of, not the actual plant, but the consciousness of this universe, this planet, that somebody would get that information just by passing that plant, or it was in the psyche of the universe. So then what you were just saying then, I think people, you know, we thought, oh, it's a seed in the plant, but you're right. What if that is part of memory? That is part of this whole thing. So that connection, you know, it's like we don't know what we don't know. As they say, it's a silly little rhyme, but it's true. We just don't. Well, I think when you go back to that being connected with plants and the religious thing as well, the thing that really made me think there was something else there, and this actual thing that happened to me, I don't know, you know, exactly how that came about, but I was living in Melbourne at the time, which is right down in our southern states, which I'm sure you'd be familiar with. And at the time, I'd been very, very sick. And it was so weird because years later they realized that I'd actually had tuberculosis. So because I worked as a tour guide, and it was because I hadn't been out of the country, but it was like, how did that happen? But they at the time diagnosed me with, I had the flu, then it was pleurisy, very, very ill. And I was actually like lying on a floor all the time. And I just thought, I can't even, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And I was young and it was very cold. I remember that for sure. And one day my flatmates had all gone to work and I was like, I could hardly breathe. And I was thinking, I'm going to have to call an ambulance or something like that. I can't get through it at all. And I thought I was woken up, and I saw, what I saw in front of me was a woman who was like covered in flowers. That's how I describe her. And I could just smell the flowers really, really strongly. I was just like, oh my goodness. And she just told me to get up, like just get up, because I was literally lying on these floorboards with a rug, and I was like, just get up and go outside, that's what you need to do. And I, to this day, and I did, I went outside and I sat on this little thing outside, and I just sat there in the sunlight, and all I could smell, there were no flowers around, but I could just smell these roses, really over the top of roses, that's it. And that, then I remember afterwards, after that, I just felt better. That's how I felt better. And whenever I looked back on that all the time, it was so real and it was so something. I don't know what it was. And I did say, was I just delirious? Was it? But it was so, so, so real. The thing was that then later on, when I was I was telling my flatmates later on, one of them turned around and had three pink rose petals. And was like, well, where did these come from? And we were like, and I hadn't left the house. No one had roses. Roses weren't in season. And I still have those. I still have those pressed in a box. When you were saying that the consciousness of all, you know, of going forward and connecting out, and what I said about the ancient Egyptians, and you know, and it's all, it's so much bigger than what we think of just a plant, a flower, just us, you know, there's got to be something in there. And we're so much bigger on a micro and a macro level than we possibly could imagine. And I think each plant is exactly the same as well, you know, and they have to evolve, because we're changing things. Other plants are changing things. So they have to evolve and change to keep up, but they need to keep something in of themselves. It's not going to get to the point that it's never a rose anymore. You know, there's going to be something in it, because even when we look at it now, what we say is a rose, it does look different to what an original rose was. Let's look at carrots. You know, carrots were never orange. Carrots were like purple and red, and you know, there's, oh my gosh, we're here forever talking about the story of carrots, but it's still a carrot. It still connects with, you know, that's it. You can find some heirloom carrots, but I'll tell you what, they're still not going to look like what carrots originally were, and that's even going back to the Middle Ages.
I've always thought of carrots as such a happy little vegetable. They just seem so happy. I really think that for me, that story about the Egyptians and then telling a plant a story or your intention, knowing that it will, as it evolves or just grows into its next the seed grows into its next plant. It's so beautiful. And it makes me want to go out to all the plants I'm looking at right now and tell them my secrets and wishes for this world so that they remember the goodness that I want in the world. And hopefully the next time someone walks by, they're like, psst, hey, think about this.
Yeah, think about this.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 87 of Bite Size Blessings and my conversation with Sherilyn Darcy. I hope you enjoyed our fangirling on the natural world, on flowers, on roses, on ancient history, and the Egyptians. For more information about my esteemed and gorgeous guest, Sherilyn, please visit her website at SherilynDarcy.com. There will be a link to her website under the episode show notes on the Bite Sized Blessings website. I need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode: Frank Schroeder, Keith Wolk, Music L. Files, Radion Nyechev, German Tretyakov, and Winnie the Moog. For complete attribution, please see the Bite Sized Blessings website at BiteSizedBlessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to groovy music, inspired artists, and intrepid authors like Sherilyn. There will be several of her books on my website. All of these, I hope, lift and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Sherilyn. Talk to your plants. Tell plants your secrets. Tell plants your dreams, your ideas, your hopes for the future, knowing that not only are they listening, but they'll take those hopes and dreams forever into the future until your hopes and dreams are out there in the world.